Hello and welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Today is Thursday, August 11th. My name is Daniel Dopp. To my right is the wonderful Stefania Bell. Today's Fantasy Focus is brought to you by Geico. Switch to Geico. See all the ways that you could save. Stefania, I haven't seen you in a minute, babe. How are you doing? I know.
It's just us two.
Seriously.
Having a combo. I love it.
We just get to do you and I today. It's going to be a ton of fun. We're going to talk about 49ers, which I'm super excited to jump in on. We're going to talk about the Cardinals. And you have been all over the place. A little bit
more than usual.
More than usual. And we're going to dive into all of that. But first, how's your summer been? I've barely seen you
because
you've been everywhere. Well, you've been everywhere.
I know. You know, it's great. I mean, this is actually one of my favorite things that I do is to go around to training camps this time of year. I mean, despite the oppressive heat, you have a greater appreciation. I will tell you that for what the players are going through when you're standing out there watching practice. You're not doing anything.
You're not even in pads.
And you're just dripping sweat, trying to get through it. But it really gives you a chance to see them up close, gives you a chance to talk to them, to talk to people around the team. And you just come away with impressions that are really hard to get from a distance. And of course, we learn a little bit about players coming back from injury.
Heck yes, we do. And with that, we're just going to dive right in today. Stefania, it's 49ers Cardinals, double trouble. And we don't have a drop for it. No big deal. All right.
Double trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Now look at that list there on the screen if you're watching. The list of 49ers and Cardinals we're going to be talking about today, there are some good fantasy names in that list, Stefania. And I'm going to start right off the bat with your guy, Trey Lance, the guy that is leading your San Francisco 49ers, the new young quarterback of your team. We know what Trey brings to the table. We know what his upside
is.
Do
we, though?
We know what his rushing ability is. My question is, let's say that you go in. There are some question marks this year around some of the passing and things that he might be a better fantasy quarterback than a better NFL quarterback from that standpoint. Curious if you draft him in a 10 or 12 team league, given the fact that we haven't seen it and we're expecting him to make the next step. Are you drafting another quarterback behind him just in case? Or are you just going to use the waiver wire if you are planning on using Trey Lance as your QB1 for the season?
Well, I'm probably not. I mean, just being honest, I'm probably not planning on using him as my QB1. I mean, I'm not drafting him in a 10 or 12 team league.
As your starter.
As my starter. And I love the idea of what Trey Lance can be. But to your point, we haven't seen it yet. And just being out there, the 49ers, there's been good days and not so good days. I mean, he's learning. And it's a reminder that that's what training camp is for, right? It's a chance to make the mistakes. He's going up against a really great defense, which, by the way, all the 49ers offensive players are talking about this, that they get to play against one of the top defenses in the league. So it is helping them grow in terms of what their offense might face because the defense is playing them so tough. But he has had some inconsistency in camp. And my colleague Nick Wagner actually put out an article recently talking about some of the things that are helping the 49ers through camp. And one of the things he's talked about is that Trey Lance, has had some bad days. And Kyle Shanahan, their head coach, obviously wants to know, how is he going to bounce back from the struggle? So this past week, he had a really bad Sunday practice. I was there on Saturday. He did not have a good Sunday practice. They wanted to see on Tuesday how he'd come back, and he turned in his best practice of the camp. So if you're looking at what's going to happen to him during the season, if he has challenges, you love to see that he bounced back, shook it off, had a really good day afterwards. Yeah. But I think he's still feeling it out. When I was there, Deebo Samuel had only been in camp for a few days. They're not practicing all the veterans. Some of the offensive line players were rotating because of rest and injury. So trying to get everything aligned on the same page, it's still a work in progress. He is expected to play in the first and third preseason games. So if people want to get a look at him, you can. Now, rushing yards, that's something he's going to bring to the table that we did not have with Jimmy Garoppolo. There are going to be designed runs for him. He's going to be able to make plays on his feet. They want to see that. But obviously, they don't want him to be scrambling for his life. So from fantasy purpose, I think the upside for Trey Lance, I would take him as a second quarterback in a 2QB league. Watch for him on the waiver wire, especially if things start to pick up. But I'm probably not relying on him out of the gate.
I think I agree with you there. I think that's really smart insight on Trey Lance. Right now he's going as quarterback 13 with ESPN ADP. You could get him in the 12th round if you want to go with Trey Lance. But I think I agree with you, Stefania. A lot of upside, a lot that maybe could happen here. But with us not having seen it, it's tough to go into a fantasy season saying, I'm trusting that guy as my QB1 to lead my fantasy team.
The position's too deep.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it here before, that there are so many options where you sort of, you know what the entity is. I would start there and either, you know, pick him up on waivers later, or if you really want to stash him. I in a 10 team league, you don't really need a second quarterback, but if you want to have one, then I would grab him.
Absolutely. In a 12 team league, it's totally worth it. And Field has said this year on the podcast a bunch of times, he has like 15 QB1s on his list because it's so deep at the quarterback position with how much this is a passing league now. So love Trey Lance. All right, let's talk about expectations for Elijah Mitchell here in year two. Elijah Mitchell is a running back that I was really excited. Last year looked really good when he was healthy. And that's sort of the caveat that I want to start with. When he was healthy, he looked great. But there were a couple of weeks where he seemed to struggle with injury. Things were going on in that 49ers backfield. As we know, it is a big running back by committee when you have guys that are struggling with injuries. They still have Trey Sermon. They drafted Tyrion Davis Price.
Jeff Wilson Jr.
So there are still a lot of people there behind Elijah Mitchell. Right now, if you're going into drafts, would you feel comfortable drafting Elijah Mitchell as your RB2 heading into the season? Or do you think there's too much of committee options there to feel comfortable with that?
I think it depends on what your setup is, but I think I'd be comfortable with him as my RB2 because we know he's going to touch the ball a lot. So when they run, it will be largely Elijah Mitchell. You're right about the injury last year. He was actually hurt more than we knew. Had a rib injury, which is not uncommon for running backs, but because they take contact, you know, you're constantly aggravating. It's hard to get better during the course of the season. I asked Kyle Shanahan when I was out there about the development of Elijah Mitchell from year one to year two, and they're just starting to see it because they actually really rested him. They didn't want him doing anything this spring. They wanted him to get completely healthy. But obviously, it was such a revelation what they got from him in his rookie year that they have big hopes for what he can do. But their number one focus is keeping him healthy and getting him into the season healthy. Interesting stat for you. You ready?
I am ready.
Because if you look at how much, you want to know what percentage of the workload is a running back getting, especially when you're talking about the potential of it being a committee.
Yep.
77.4% of a team's running back touches in games played went to Elijah Mitchell. That ranked fourth in the league for that stat, behind only Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, and David Montgomery.
Wow.
So in other words, when the 49ers were running the ball, they were giving it to Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah.
He's their guy. And I think it shocks people that's that high, but the relative percentage of run plays was a lot lower than a number of other teams. So his total fantasy points accumulated were somewhat less. But look, he's talented. They love him. He's trustworthy. He doesn't fumble the ball. He's going to get his touches, and I think for running back two, you could do a lot worse.
To your point, last five regular season games last year, 23.6 carries per game. If you're telling me that I can have a 49ers running back who's going to run for over 20 carries a game with the way that they like to utilize those running backs, I'm likely going to be in on that player. Still some concerns. Want to make sure that he can stay healthy, and they've obviously drafted two guys in the third round each of the last 2 years. And I am hoping that for them, that's great change of pace thing. You know, maybe they can come in and help keep Elijah Mitchell healthy longer, but not necessarily use them as far as a taking away touches from him from a fantasy
perspective. They like this Tyrion Davis Price. I mean, they're known for finding, you know, some gems.
Elijah Mitchell's a seventh round or undrafted.
Sixth round, I think, but I'm not positive. That's a Field stat. Yeah. You know what round they got drafted, but I think Tyrion Davis Price was earlier. So you know they invested a little bit more, but they like these running backs that they can develop. And Elijah Mitchell looked really good in camp when I saw him. I mean, he's definitely got some juice, and he's not afraid to take contact, which is a plus or minus, but he can get through it.
You did see him in camp, though. Did you specifically talk to him?
I didn't. I talked to him at the NFLPA event
before
the draft, but that doesn't count as this year.
That was before the draft.
That was before the draft.
Oh, okay, that's all right.
You know, he was not afraid to stand next to me. He didn't believe in the curse.
Good for him. Wow. What a brave young man.
I know.
All right, let's talk about Deebo Samuel now. Speaking of running backs.
Stop.
First eight
Shame
games.
On you, Daniel.
Well, okay, hold on. First eight games of last year. I just threw my sheet down, but I'm going to look at it.
Please
First
look.
Eight games of last year. Deebo Samuel had 80 targets. He had 8 targets in every single game. And he had 6 carries.
Is that good? Sounds good.
Through the first 8 games, 80 targets and 6 carries. The second 8 games of last year, he had 39 targets, less than half as many, and 53 carries. I just don't know going into this what it is that the 49ers are going to do with Deebo Samuel. I'm not sure that the 49ers know what they're going to do with Deebo Samuel, but I'm curious what your expectations are, having been there, being able to talk to people, rub some shoulders, kiss some babies, Stefania. What's Deebo Samuel's role in this 49ers offense?
Well, clearly it's large because everybody sat down at a table and worked it all out so that everybody was happy. And that the message that I got when I was out there was everybody's happy. Whatever, you know, this question of whether he wanted to be utilized in a certain way, they were just...
It's taken care of now.
Yeah, it is, we're all happy.
Yeah.
The challenge is, quite frankly, that Deebo hasn't had a ton of time with Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. And so with him just coming to camp, he'd only been there for a few days when I got there. He and Trey Lance, not quite on the same page, you know, just in terms of connecting and basically through practice. And you could see that Lance was working on getting the ball to him more, like definitely making an effort, but that chemistry still needs to be built up. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, it was great with him and Jimmy G. So that's a work in progress, but doesn't mean they're going to shy away from using him.
Yeah.
And the versatility, we all know what that is. I will say this, 49ers were super happy with how Deebo arrived at camp, because with all that time away and with nothing on the table, there's always the risk that maybe you don't come in as great shape. And the year that he hurt his foot, that he did not arrive in the best shape. This year, he arrived in great shape. They were super happy. And that meant they could insert him right away into all the drills.
Right now, he's going as wide receiver 5 here on ESPN. You get him around the 12th pick. So you're looking at the early second round. That doesn't bother me. Deebo as a first rounder, I think, would be tough for me given the other wide receivers that are ahead of him. But if I can get a running back or a really good wide receiver in the first round and get him at the top end of the second, again, giving all the things that you know they're going to utilize him. And if you tell me everybody's happy, Stefania, that makes my heart feel better. That makes me feel like I can go into this season feeling like I can trust Deebo and there's not this underlying issue between these two.
Well,
guys.
There's no issue between him and the 49ers, to be clear. I do think there is, you could see a, like I said, it's a work in progress. There's going to be some building blocks between him and Trey Lance. And will they miss occasionally? I think so at the outset, but I think that will continue to get better as the year goes on.
And it's not just Deebo that's going to have those building blocks with Lance. Oh, but apparently we have some breaking news coming
in.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
Patriots running back James White has officially announced his retirement from the NFL after being with the Patriots for 8 seasons, being drafted in 2014. This guy,
I have a little tear. I love James White as a player.
He did so much that was outside of, from a fantasy perspective, as a pass catcher. He was a guy that I think was overlooked until we realized it is wrong to overlook James White and everything.
University
that
of Wisconsin, you know, known for these running backs that they put in the NFL.
Absolutely.
James White, so talented, such a good player, but had a really bad hip injury.
Yeah.
And if you follow Mike Reese, which, by the way, if you are a Patriots fan, you should be following Mike Reese.
Mike Reese is great.
The best, the absolute best. But he talked about the very beginning of the year, you know, he started on the PUP list, James White did, and he, Mike Reese observed that he was still limping a bit, seemed to be struggling a little with the hip. So, you know, maybe saw the writing on the wall, maybe just felt like this is the right time, and good for him. I mean, he's had an incredible career.
Absolutely.
And take your health as the number one priority.
That's right.
And we will be sorry to see him go, but it was probably the right thing for him.
Agreed. Enjoy your health. Enjoy your life and your family. You have earned it, James.
Yes.
Go do it. We'll talk about maybe Ramondre Stevenson and what this could potentially mean for some of the Patriots running backs in future shows, knowing that we have this. But all right, Stefania, let's get back to this. We talked about
More Niners, please.
More Niners talk. We had talked about how there's going to be some growing pains. And not only is that going to happen with Deebo, but that's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk as well.
Don't necessarily assume that. He and Trey Lance are, you know.
Okay, so that makes me feel better because watching Brandon Ayuk, his rookie year, wide receiver 18 on a points per game basis. Mind you, he missed some time that year, but wide receiver 18. Last year, wide receiver 46.
Yes, we do. You remember how last year started?
Poorly. I think is the word you're looking for. Poorly.
It did start poorly. And, you know, the thing is, camp last year looked like when I was there, I was there early in camp.
Yep.
Looked like things were pretty good.
I think that was the problem that we determined.
It was my fault. Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, I know it wasn't my fault because I talked to him again this year. So he did not shy away.
Come on. 2 years.
Look, I wouldn't hurt my own team. All Everybody right. knows this.
How do you feel about Brandon Ayuk then?
Let me set the scene for you. Number one, when I get there, everyone's telling me Brandon Ayuk might be having the best camp of anyone in the 49ers.
Okay? Wow.
And, this is not people who are prone to, you know, inflating. They're just observations, right? It might be having the best camp of the 49ers. So I, you talk to the players after they kind of set aside a little area. You know, in 49ers camp, they're nice. They put you under a tree so you're not in the blazing hot sun. So we're standing there chatting after practice. And Trey Lance, you know, the quarterback.
You know, Trey Lance.
His name escaped me. Trey Lance goes walking by and he's like, "That's a superstar in the making. Call him Sticks." And I'm like, "Sticks?" And Brandon's laughing. And clearly there's a little joke. You know, these guys are buddies. They're buds. They're giving each other. And I'm thinking there's a good story there. And really, the story is just that Brandon wears 11, like two sticks.
Oh,
and so
stop
this,
it.
Yeah. But that's when you have funny. Your quarterback calling me out and saying, like, it's like they are so in sync. And part of the reason is they train together, they work together all off season. I asked Brandon how that came about. He said they had the same speed coach down in San Diego. So he went down to hang out with him. So, in addition to like practicing, getting their timing down, running routes, working together, they also hung out and, you know, just got to know each other better. And they did a little work last year beforehand, but it just solidified things. And when you watch practice, you can see when two guys are on the same page. The connection is real. He's looking for him a lot. Kyle Shanahan is full of praise for Brandon Ayuk. And if you recall last year, it was a little frosty.
Yeah.
When there was some trouble early on.
Yeah.
And Shanahan's sort of answered some of the things he wouldn't answer last year by talking about the differences he's seeing in Ayuk in terms of the preparation and the work and what he's able to do now. So I have big hopes for Brandon Ayuk in this offense.
I'll tell you what, right now, our ESPN ADP is wide receiver 46. So you're getting him quite late from that perspective. 9 games last year where he only had 40 receiving yards. And I think that's going to be what people remember. Is last year.
I'll take him and I'll get a steal.
And so you think
it's going to be better than that.
You think that he is worth 100%. Taking a shot on.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
Okay.
He is one of Trey Lance's favorite targets right now. Now, obviously, like I said, he's got to get more familiar with Debo.
Of course.
George Kittle will be a factor, but I'm not sure how much, you know, in terms of the pass catching. We'll talk about him in a second. But Brandon Ayuk is poised to have a really good season. This could be a breakout year for him.
Yeah, and you're getting him for basically free with where he is being drafted right now as a late round flyer. Let's talk about George Kittle because he's another great pass catcher in this offense. It's hard not to have effusive praise for George Kittle. I tried to use a big word because Stefania was on the show. Did I do it right?
I noticed it.
Was that right?
I noticed it, yes.
All right.
Used correctly, pronounced correctly, everything.
You. So... It's still tough, though, because George Kittle has had some ups and downs when it comes to fantasy seasons the last little bit. And we still have those same questions and concerns that we have with Trey Lance while we're expecting to take the next step. George Kittle is being drafted as the 5th tight end off of the board right now. I'm curious if you think that he is still worth that value based on past seasons with Kittle and what it is that you see with Trey at the quarterback position.
I think he is, but it's definitely a little more of an unknown. There's no way you can tell me with any sort of confidence that I'm going to buy that you know exactly how this is going to play out. And part of the reason is George Kittle does have an injury history. You know, he's tough as nails, but the way he plays is 150%. And he's had some injuries as a result, and that's cost him some time. So that's been part of the issue. He's also an excellent blocker. Excellent blocker. And so when they need him to do that, that's how they're going to utilize him. And that may take away some of his pass catching opportunity. But did I see him making big plays in practice? Did I see him being looked for in the end zone? Yes. So there, that threat is still there. He's always been great at yards after the catch. If you remember when he had that blowout season that was amazing. That was one of the things he did better than any other tight end in the league was produce yards after the catch. So he can still do that. He's in incredible shape, takes good care of himself, true leader on the field. I just don't know in terms of what the opportunity in terms of volume is going to be.
I'm with you. And I think that's my question. 23% target share last year was third most amongst tight ends. But if we think that Debo and we think that Brandon Ayuk could potentially see more opportunities this year, how is that going to factor out? Where are those opportunities going to come from?
And I think touchdowns could go up for Kittle, but I'm concerned a little bit about the volume.
Yeah. Last year, he had a high, career high with six touchdowns. The first time he's ever had six touchdowns in his career. So there is so much upside.
49ers, by the way, were terrible in the red zone last year, you know, and I think.
So are the Lions. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Well, what was that laugh about?
We went to the NFC Championship. We are not the same.
Come on, Stefania.
They're going to be much better in the red zone. I think they're going to be down there. I think they're going to be better in the red zone. They have a huge threat in Trey Lance, obviously, with his ability to run, which is going to open up all the opportunities for the guys who can get the targets down there. So I do think the touchdowns will go up for George Kittle, but I'm not sure about the number of targets and where that falls.
Before we get to win totals, is there anyone else in this offense that you think is worth talking about from a fantasy perspective, or are these the guys that you're really focusing on this year?
I think these are the main guys for right now.
Okay.
We shall see, but I think they're the main ones. And, you know, part of it too, they've got some awesome, you know, 49ers have some really good players up front who are going to help create, you know, as long as Trent Williams is healthy, this is good for everyone. You know, and the 49ers defense, that's the only, if you're drafting a defense, like I think they are one of the best in the NFL and they look fantastic. So
they have a win total. Caesars has them at 10 wins.
And we're going to beat everybody else in the NFC West all the time. So there's some good numbers.
There's at least, six wins right there. Are you taking over or under on 10 wins for the San Francisco 49ers this year?
Gosh, I think that's hitting just about right, but I'll take the over. I'll give him 11.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to give him 9.
You're wrong.
I understand that I'm wrong, but it's also about hedging bets. You know what I mean? I just can't take the same as everybody else.
Wow. Well,
all right. We got Cardinals to talk about next. But first, a message from our friends at DraftKings and Geico. Football fans, join the next generation of football fans with Rainmakers Football, their first ever NFT fantasy game from DraftKings. It's the only NFT fantasy game licensed by the NFLPA. Now you can play all season for millions in prizes by building the ultimate NFT franchise. Right now, everyone can get their first full roster starter pack for free. Playing Rainmakers is simple. Buy, sell, bid, and win player card NFTs on the biggest names in the game through regular drops and auctions on the DraftKings marketplace. Craft lineups of athletes from your NFT collection and earn points for touchdowns, receptions, and more, just like in daily fantasy football. Build your NFT franchise and enter free Rainmakers football contests all season long to compete for millions in prizes. The next generation of fantasy football sports is here. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now. Sign up with the promo code FFF, click the Rainmakers tile, and opt in to get your first card free. Plus, play for millions in prizes all football season while building the ultimate NFT fantasy franchise with Rainmakers Football. That's promo code FFF. Build, play, win, only at DraftKings. Contest entries dependent on type and number of NFTs held. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Would love it.
Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, Daniel, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
Wow. I wish Mike Clay was here because you crushed that live read. I mean, you did. That was like a full-on A-minus, Stefania. You did a great. We've been grading our live reads
have
this
you?
Year. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't aware. Yeah. I didn't know I was being evaluated.
You were being evaluated, and you did a great job.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. When was the last time you rode a motorcycle, by the way?
College.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Stefania.
I dated a guy who had a motorcycle.
Did you really? Yeah. Of course you dated a guy with a motorcycle in college. What was his name?
No, we're not going to say. Let's not go there.
All right. Still fun though. Motorcycles are fun. But just make sure you have insurance and you drive carefully.
And wear your helmet.
All right.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to start with Kyler Murray, Stefania, where there were some question marks around Kyler last year. Obviously got hurt. We saw his rushing production dip.
Not just last year either.
No. I'm going to run through some stats here really quickly to tee up this question.
Okay.
In 2020, Kyler Murray, weeks 1 through 10, averaged 29.3 fantasy points per game. 29.3 weeks 1 through 10. That dropped to 16.5 after week 10 the rest of the way in 2020. That's a 13 point per game drop. Okay?
I can do math. Got it. Okay.
Okay. In 2021, weeks 1 through 7, he averaged 24.1 points per game. And then that dropped to 18.8 the rest of the way after week 7. That's a 6 point drop. So can you trust Kyler Murray for a full season, given the last 2 years we've watched him crush it to start off the year? And then we've watched him sort of, you know, been battered sort of at the finish line, and he doesn't finish the way that he started.
Yeah, a friend of mine once said trust is a strong word. And I think it is, especially when you're, if you look at last year's stats, sort of coincides with when he was hurt. He had a bad injury last year. And I think the reason people didn't really think it was that bad is because the Cardinals never came out and said he's going to be gone for this amount of time. If you recall, every week it was like, well, maybe he's going to be back. You know, he's doing better. Maybe it'll be back. And he got injured week 8, did not come back till week 13. So that, you know, he had a significant injury that I think, you know, it definitely skewed the data set that you had left into a small amount of time.
Sure.
Then they were not themselves. If you recall, the Cardinals just didn't look the same. He appeared to be scrambling for his life much of the time. So any rushing numbers he had were more for survival as opposed to him running either a designed run or with, you know, deliberately to extend, you know, to basically create an opportunity for himself. So I think I'm a little nervous about that. I'm also nervous just given all the weirdness of coming into this year. It just doesn't feel to me. I know they got a deal done, but there's a difference between getting a deal done where you feel like everyone is super happy and on board, and then getting a deal done where there's a clause that gets a lot of attention that then results in not so pleasant press conference, and then the clause is withdrawn. Like, what is that? And to me, that's all part of it. You know, I think he's supremely talented. It's going to be interesting because he's not going to have one of his key weapons on offense, DeAndre Hopkins, for the first few weeks. So how is that going to look? The upside for Kyler Murray, I get it. I see why he's so high in people's estimation because that's what he can produce. So I just don't have the confidence.
I want to ask you this. Because you mentioned injury, coming back from injury last year, he had a for a Kyler Murray season, like a pretty awful rushing season, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he averaged 46 rushing yards per game after returning from injury in week 13. He was averaging 18.3 prior to that. I mean, that's...
But like I said, I think some of those yards rushing were because everything else was falling apart
around him.
Right. It was desperation. And I don't think that's the way the game looks. So even though the numbers are better, I don't know that that's the way they want to execute the game.
Mike has him ranked as quarterback 5. Field has him at quarterback 7. ESPN consensus is 5. ADP is at 5. I think I'm with you. I'd probably fall in that. I mean, 5 to 7 range, there are some question marks here. Do you think he falls farther than 7? Do you think Field is too low on him?
I don't think Fields, that's probably where I would put him, because to me, he's a risk reward, right? The upside is definitely there. The talent is there that can get you those points, but I have questions about the line. I have questions about what the execution of that offense is going to look like. And if you look at where his rushing stats were earlier in last year, I think that's because they were executing the offense the way they wanted to. I mean, the Cardinals looked like they were going to go potentially undefeated. I mean, people were talking about how great they looked.
Yeah.
And then it all fell apart. So I think if you go back to what they look like when everything was firing on all cylinders, that was a lower rushing production from Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
So I don't totally know that I know what that offense looks like. It makes me a little bit nervous.
You've got questions. I got questions around James Conner too. If we can just move ahead to running backs, James Conner last year had 239 touches, 18 touchdowns. That's a lot of touchdowns.
This is where you need a Mike Clay regression term in here. The
regression stat.
Right.
With what he has done the last 2 years, James Conner, do you think that for another year, do you think that he can hold up and manage this kind of a workload based on what we have seen?
That's why I'm pulling up this on my phone. So he's never played a full season.
Okay.
Because of injury. In 2017, 14 games. 2018, 13. 2019, 10. 2020, 13, and then last year, 15 games. So last year was the most
that he's
played. And when you consider the workload that he had, that's a bonus. And he obviously got the ball in the red zone and scored a ton of touchdowns. Number one, I don't think that happens exactly the same this year. Number two, I'm on the record as talking about how vulnerable the running back position is. So there aren't many running backs where I feel it. And he's sort of confident saying, yeah, they can hold up for the full season, because find me a running back who plays all 17 games. It's exceptionally rare, other than Christian McCaffrey years 1 through 3. You just don't find it. And so I just don't believe that he can maintain that. I'd love to see him prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, James Conner, please prove me wrong. Because I would rather you were able to stay healthy. But now everyone keys in on him. Now there's no question about who is expected to be the feature back. There's no question about who's going to likely get the ball in the end zone if it's going to be a running play. I'm a little worried about him.
And so shout out to Kyle. Thursday Kyle just texted me. James Conner's OTD last year was 11.6. So that touchdown regression appears like it's going to be coming down a little bit from that standpoint. They signed Darrell Williams in the offseason, a really good pass catcher, somebody that I think that can play that number two role well. He's not James Conner. He's not going to be a guy that's going to come in and, I think, take away goal line looks from him. But I have question marks. I'm worried about James Conner, especially with where you're drafting him. ADP is running back 13. If you're drafting him there, you're planning on using him for a full season. You're not, and this is, again, we get to a certain point. A lot of these running backs have question marks. And the question mark is, would you rather have an injury question mark? Would you rather have a team and strategy question mark?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I do think that he's going to have, the opportunity isn't going to dwindle because another note from our Thirsty Kyle. Cardinals ranked 5th in red zone rush rate over the past 2 seasons.
Wow.
So he had the 2nd most goal line carries last year. I don't think that changes. If they're in the red zone, no DeAndre Hopkins first 6 weeks. Like, I think he's going to be a touchdown machine early. The question is, can he sustain it?
Yeah.
He ended last season with a rib injury. That was our last memory of James Conner in 2021. He missed the last 2 games of the season because of a rib injury. Again, common for running backs. So if you're the focal point and rushing in the red zone, you're going to take a lot of hits.
Yeah.
And what happens when that happens to him? So I'm not opposed to him being my top running back, as long as I have really good I'm going to have
insurance.
To stack running backs across the board because I don't have the confidence that he'll hold up.
Yeah. Shout out to Kyle, by the way, with all these stats. He's really pushing to get some run with the ones. Right now, right, he's working on the off to the side with the twos right now, but Kyle
unfair.
Totally deserves to be up here with us with the ones. Kyle, shout out to you. We love you, buddy. let's talk about these wide receivers then, because we got 2 of them. Hollywood Brown came over from Baltimore, and DeAndre Hopkins, you already mentioned, going to miss the first 6 weeks of the season. Let's start with Nuke, because he's a guy that I feel like we've seen. We know what
so
DeAndre
talented.
Hopkins is. We know how good he is. Missing the first 6 weeks of the season, how are you approaching DeAndre Hopkins heading into fantasy?
I love him because an angry DeAndre Hopkins is the best DeAndre Hopkins. he doesn't like when these things are... He was one of the more vocal players I've seen after being suspended due to the league's... what's the word I'm looking for?
Substance
the
abuse policy.
Yeah. And he talked about, he's very specific in his training. This happens to so many guys, by the way. I just digress for a second and say that they take supplement, you know, they're taking things that they are relying on information given to them by people who are experts in their field. Yep. And it still happens sometimes. Labs sometimes have trace elements of who knows what that's in there. And that's the danger. Like, they take that on by doing so. But my point is, he's mad. He's mad. And when he was there with the Texans and people were suggesting, you know, because he didn't practice a lot. If you go back to the Houston days, he always had day off here, day off there. But because he knew his body very well, when he started to get, there was criticism about his ability, you know, what's going on? Why isn't he out there? He would just go out and perform on the weekends. He's one of the best in contested catches. He's one of the most physical players on the field. And I think after being out for 6 weeks, he's going to be so angry that he's going to be phenomenal when he comes back. So when you ask, like, what version of him do you get? I think you get the best version of DeAndre Hopkins. And clearly there's been some trust built up between him and Kyler Murray. If you recall, too, when he had the hamstring injury, part of the issue there was Hopkins was pressing to get back in. And because he pushed so hard and worked his way back in, he ended up aggravating his injury and it made it worse. So I think he's probably learned from that as well. You know, got to take a little better care of himself because he's, you know, we're all aging, but you know, as a receiver, he's aging a little bit. So, but he second in end zone targets per game last season, at least one end zone target in 8 of 10 games. I'm telling you, Kyler Murray looks for him.
Yeah. I'm currently going right now as wide receiver 35. So ESPN ADP average pick 97. So you're getting him here in the 10th round in the same area as Rashad Bateman and Drake London and Devontae Smith. The upside with him after that 6-game suspension is potentially huge.
Yes.
And you're getting a wide receiver that can do that.
I would take him over them.
To that standpoint, though, the first 6 games of the season, I think Hollywood Brown is going to see a massive target share. Yeah, he is going to look really good coming over from Baltimore. We know what it is that he can do and his skill set. When he was with Lamar, he played with Kyler while he was in college.
Right.
Excited to be able to see what this tandem is going to be. What is it that you expect out of this duo here?
Well, he's got the speed, right? So I think, you know, he's probably excited that he's going to pick up some of the slack there where DeAndre Hopkins is not. I think that was a challenge for him, you know, potentially with coming over. But I think that he's going to be the outlet that Kyler Murray needs that's deep, and he's going to be hard to cover. I mean, that's one of his best features. So I think, again, this offense to me is a little bit hard to trust because I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, especially early on. And I just haven't seen Kyler Murray yet. I want to see him play and see what this looks like, but he's the number one target for him in the first 6 weeks, at least.
He was wide receiver 12 in points per game prior to Lamar getting hurt last year. He had 16.7 points per game in the 11 games he had Lamar as his quarterback. It sounds like he's still set up in a position to succeed here. Sounds like that with a quarterback that he has a still very good chemistry with, I'm going to assume that there's going to be a continued growth from Hollywood Brown. Right now, you're getting him in the 7th round around Amon-Ra St. Brown, Darnell Mooney, Cortland Sutton in that range. Boy, this is an offense that I like him, but there are a lot of wide receivers deep. This is not a negative to Hollywood Brown. But when I look at that list of wide receivers around him, there's a lot of good wide receivers there. And inside the top 30, it's going to be tough because there's a bunch of people that I would like to choose.
And you might be going feast or famine with him as well. You might have games where he's going to deliver a ton of points and then games where he's going to be relatively quiet.
The nature of his game, right? Mm-hmm. That's the way that he works. And you just got to buy that. If you draft Hollywood Brown, you know it's going to work out that way sometimes. Are there any other pass catchers? We'll get to Zach Ertz in a second. Any other wide receivers? Rondale Moore, AJ Green, anybody else that you think is worth, you know, a dart throw here in a 10 to 12 team league?
I mean, maybe Rondale, especially if you're looking for somebody to give you an assist potentially as a flex play in the first few weeks of the season.
Sure.
Because I think he will end up being targeted more there. But other than that, I'm happy to move on to Zach Ertz because I like Zach Ertz as a pass catcher in this offense.
I love it. So let's talk about Zach Ertz. We saw Zach Ertz be a lot better in Arizona last year than we saw him be in Philly. What is it that you like about Zach Ertz here in this offense?
Well, he was hurt in Philly, and I don't think that people know how badly he was hurt. You know, he had a high ankle injury that required surgery, and he was trying to play through it in Philly. He was trying to be a gamer and go out there, and he struggled. He didn't look good moving around. People are like, oh, he's old, he's washed up. No, he was hurt and couldn't move. And if you watched what he did when he got to Arizona, he actually settled in quite nicely and became a reliable target for them. They also had Max Williams playing tight end. Max Williams got hurt, had a very severe knee injury. He's not going to be a factor for them. So Zach Ertz, to me, is kind of a sneaky tight end that is, I think, will get the volume. And I think you're going to see the Zach Ertz that you saw before the injury in Philly, because another year built up with Kyler Murray and a healthy Zach Ertz, who is so happy, by the way, being in Arizona.
Yeah.
Just, you know, personal reasons as well as being with the team. I think people are ignoring Zach Ertz.
Yeah. Right now, he's currently going as tight end 9. He's ranked across the board by both Field and Mike as tight end 9. You're getting him in the 11th round in the Dallas Goedert, Mike Gesicki range. I'd definitely rather have him over Mike Gesicki with the way it sounds like he's going to be more of a blocker this year.
I think that's about right, the Dallas Goedert range. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you get him as a tail end, tight end 1, if you waited on tight end, I think that this offense is still going to score points. I think he's somebody that you can trust there if you waited from that perspective. All right, over under on this team. Caesars has them at 8.5 wins, kid. Where you at?
Under.
Under 8.5. Wow, I'm going to go over. I'm taking 9 wins for them.
Why? They already have 2 losses against the 49ers. We'll start there.
Okay. And then they're going to get 2 wins against the Rams?
Well, yeah, they got the Seahawks. You
know. We'll talk about the Seahawks tomorrow. It'll be a different conversation.
Yeah, I mean... Okay. They got those two.
All right. For him. I'm going to take the over. Stefania's going to take the under. And now we're going to take one more quick break. And Stefania, we're going to come back with a bunch of injury questions that our fans have had from you. We built up over the show. But first, our friends at NerdWallet want you to know that when it comes to choosing the top running back, wide receiver, quarterback, or even which defense is right for your team in any given week, the San Francisco 49ers, you know where to turn. But when you're trying to decide on the right credit card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or the right savings account, where do you go? The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make a smart financial decision. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Think people as obsessed about personal finance as we are about fantasy sports. And they want to share their knowledge with our listeners to help them find the right financial products for them. Let's say you're looking for a new credit card, like a new rewards credit card, let's say. NerdWallet can help you compare cashback cards side by side. That way you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending needs. Think of them like your weekly PPR wide receiver rankings, but you're comparing top credit cards that work for you. You ready to make a financial decision? Compare and find top credit cards, saving accounts, and more at NerdWallet.com. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. NerdWallet Compare Inc. NMLS 1617539. NerdWallet is an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only. All right, Stefania, we got a bunch of Twitter questions. This first one comes from T. Galloway 12. Wants to know, how much should injury history play into picking a player? If a guy is 100% healthy and recovered, should that be the tiebreaker between two guys or not? How do you use injury as a tiebreaker when deciding in draft time what it is that you want to do?
Well, Thomas, if you're me, it's always the tiebreaker. it's my bias, and I recognize that not everyone feels the same. So, you know, it's sort of a personal choice. I'm risk averse, and that doesn't, we don't have crystal ball. We do not know who exactly is going to get hurt. But some people will say, well, that was, you know, you overstate the injury history. The data bears it out that there is increased risk of injury. You know, there's a saying that, you know, prior history of injury is the number one predictor of future injury. So when a guy has missed time in the previous season, it ups their risk factor for the following year.
Yeah.
But then if you want to get into the nuance of it, it depends on the type of the injury, right? If they're soft tissue injury that's repetitive over and over, this is a big flag for me, particularly when it comes to hamstrings. And it's interesting because I've seen some different things out there on social media, but I was just at New York Giants camp and I was talking with Lee Weiss, who's the director of rehab and physical therapy for the New York Giants, and also chaired the task force for the NFL's health and safety committee that looks specifically at lower extremity strains. So hamstring injuries, number one. They have actually replaced ACL injuries as the number one burden of injury in the NFL, meaning time lost in practice and games. Even though ACL is a big injury because of the scope of how hamstring strains affect players at every position and the time lost, they've become the number one problem, which is why they created a task force to look at it. And what he was telling me is that they're seeing that not only is the number of hamstring injuries so vast, but the rate of recurrence is as high as 1 in 6 within the same season.
Wow.
So if you see guys getting an injury early on, there's a 1 in 6 chance that they're going to have it be a problem at some point again later in the season. So when we get an off season, it gives us a little more time and more recovery, but there's still a recency there that to me creates some risk. If it's a broken bone, then once that heals, they're good. So that injury history doesn't concern me as much. Sure. So again, we can get into the weeds on it because it depends on the type of injury and, you know, all these other variables, but it is a factor for me when I go into a draft.
I will say this, it's a factor for me as well, but I also look at it as potential value. When you look at someone like Chris Godwin, right? Like, you're taking a risk. But the risk is the fact that you're drafting him lower than what Chris Godwin would be because of the fact he's coming back from injury. And do I have a shot that for the first handful of weeks of the season, I can have another player that can fill in for Chris Godwin? And in the 7th round, I just got a guy that's going to be a top 10 wide receiver. So I don't do that with everybody. You can't just go out and draft, you know, Robert Woods and Chris Godwin and all the injured wide receivers and just get value, quote unquote.
Right.
But I don't mind looking at one guy or two that I'm trying to find value of. Hey, I think he could come back from injury and look really good from that standpoint. But totally hear you. I also use it as a tiebreaker. And I do think we do have a crystal ball, or at least we used to. do you have any concerns about Stafford, Matthew's elbow? And if so, are you staying away from Cooper Kupp at his current ADP? Shout out to our friend DJ Gallo.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, of course, you never like to hear that a quarterback's dealing with an elbow issue when you enter camp. But if you pay attention to the details, which is that's sort of my job to do, I don't have as much concern as there was, you know, when the alarm bells went off, like Stafford's not throwing. You have to go back and look at this has been bothering him for a while. Mm-hmm. There was a plan. I think sometimes when coaches, you know, bless Sean McVay for trying to share some information, but sometimes the words get parsed and then people hang on them. So he talked about thrower's elbow, you know, more similar to a baseball pitcher. We see in baseball pitchers, thrower's elbow is usually a flexor strain, which is the flexor tendon, which is the inside part of the elbow, here where the muscles attach. And we see these strains in pitchers because of the way that they throw. Throwing a football is slightly different.
This is it right in this area, Stefania? Right here.
Yeah, except for it doesn't do that. Yeah, nice.
Right in this spot. Okay.
I noticed the art. Is that what you're trying to point out?
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure I was getting the right spot and that it was like right in here. That's all. Okay.
But the thing is that, you know, we don't do cortisone on these tendon injuries anymore. There was a question of, is it tendonitis? Nope. Because tendonitis tends to refer to something more acute.
Sure.
He's been throwing the ball for a long time. You know, you've been following him. So those tendons change with age. You get some wear and tear. The idea is they do an injection more like PRP. You're trying to get some healing. But you have to take a big break. So you take a break from throwing, and then you have a very structured return to throwing program. So when he was entering this last phase of that progression back, camp is here. So he's over doing his Matthew Stafford thing, which is on time for the program he's on. But everyone sees like, wait, he's not engaged in full practice. There's a problem here. So I think he will be ready to start the season. I think he'll be okay. Can I guarantee he'll be okay and it won't be a problem?
Of course
no.
Not. Yeah.
But I think based on how he's feeling now and the thing they have him doing, he'll be fine. And if he's playing, I'm not staying away from Cooper Kupp.
No, I'm definitely drafting Cooper Kupp. If he's available when it comes up and his name is there, I'm hitting the draft button. That's how Cooper Kupp works. This question comes from E. Webster. On a scale of 1 to 10, what are your injury concerns for Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley? So, let's start with CMC.
Is 10 like...
10 is the, N is 10, the highest?
10 is like highest level of concern?
Yeah.
So let me start with Saquon because my concern's actually pretty low. Saquon now, and you know, everybody, Everybody, I was the hater last year. I wasn't a hater. I was just seeing him come into camp where he was, and I didn't feel like he was quite ready to be Saquon. Sometimes when a player gets out there and they feel like, I got to be this guy, this is the expectation, pushing to get back, and they're coming off ACL, MCL, complex surgery.
Are you talking about J.K. Dobbins right now?
It could be. It could be like an analogy to this year, yes. And the problem is they're trying to be what they were before injury when maybe they need that progression back. Mm. I didn't think Saquon was going to be that guy. We saw it the start of the year. He started to get better. Then he had the ankle injury. Freak injury, though it was, secondary injuries are not uncommon following this type of surgery. A year removed, so much better. And I did talk to him. And, you know, players don't like to acknowledge it in that first year. I get it. You know, you're coming back. You don't think you're like, I'm going to be fine. It's kind of like J.K. Dobbins right now. But a year later, you talk to them all and they're like, oh, I was not. No, I am a different person this year. I have more confidence in my knee. Saquon, just talking to him and, you know, well, I'll spare you the details here, but the things he's saying and doing and the way he's running right now. And by the way, not very much a ton of depth behind him. So my only concern is, will he get overutilized? But Saquon is going to be good this year. I think this is a really strong year for him. CMC changes. He's changed a lot of things, right? Obviously wasn't working for him.
Yeah.
He's struggled with these soft tissue injuries. The guy is still the same guy when he's playing. So I have a high level of concern, but I'd still be drafting him for my team.
Okay. White Shark 17 wants to know, what is your overall concern with durability this year for DeAndre Swift? I think White Shark 17 is just Dan Campbell's burner account.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Dan Campbell is taking notes because DeAndre Swift's getting, if you've noticed, I'm sure you have, you are the biggest number one Lions fan that I know. He's getting veteran rest days in camp. They are protecting DeAndre Swift because they know how valuable he is. If I told you how many players told me they got hurt in Detroit on the turf, you would not want to hear that from me. So it's sort of over the years that's been a complaint. So I worry about all Detroit running backs because that's the place they run the most. And I'm concerned. Like, there's a legit concern about how they will hold up in Detroit. Detroit running backs, you can go look at the history.
Yeah.
It's a struggle.
Yeah.
That said, his injury was shoulder, and he missed 4 games last year because of that. And then they had to protect him from that. And that's a contact thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a knock on DeAndre Swift.
No.
It's sort of a function of the position and the place that he plays. I have a little bit of concern, but I think they're doing all the right steps now to make sure he's healthy as can be when he starts.
Agreed. They got to protect DeAndre Swift, and we have to just protect Jamal Williams with everything that we potentially can, because that's just a guy. With the world. Society has just got to protect Jamal Williams at any cost. Yes. We got a couple more YouTube questions. This one comes from Joshua Alvarado. Wants to know, how do you feel about Michael Thomas' return based on his prior injury, Stefania?
Well, first of all, thanks for dropping a question in the chat with our listeners.
Absolutely.
We appreciate that. The thing about Michael Thomas is he really hasn't played in 2 years. And so what we're seeing right now is fantastic and maybe a little bit better than I expected, because he's looking really good. He's flashing like signs of the old Michael Thomas in training camp, and they had been bringing him back slowly. You know, he was not participating fully, but now he's starting to look really good. The question for me is the volume and how he holds up. He had a very significant injury. Mm-hmm. You know, he had the ankle injury that he tried to play through. He ultimately needed surgery, not only to repair the high ankle injury, but also the inside ligaments of his ankle. So it's a pretty complex surgery. And then, and we all know that the drama in terms of the delay of getting that surgery, et cetera, how that played out with the team. But then in the course of rehab, he suffered another injury separate from what he had repaired, but still related to the foot and ankle, that then required an additional procedure. So that's a lot. That's a lot on a wide receiver. And what you don't know, even though everything is technically healed and he's cleared and he looks good, is how will that hold up to a season of football?
Not, and it's not just how will Michael Thomas return from that injury? It's he no longer has Drew Brees. Jameis Winston is under center. He's got to learn
it's
a whole new quarterback.
Different. Well, Everything you know, different. Drew Brees, because he was looking for him in that short distance, middle distance. You know, that was an area of focus for Drew Brees. We'll see. I think he had one. There's a stat that I shouldn't even try and bring it up because I don't have it off top of mind. But I've talked with our friend Mike Triplett about this before, and that's not where Jameis Winston looks for the ball. So what can Michael Thomas be with Jameis Winston, I think, becomes a question.
All right. This one comes from Kevin P. Hi, Stefania.
Hi, Kevin P.
What is your opinion on Jameson Williams' injury and his fantasy outlook for this season specifically? Jameson Williams.
Are you picking only Detroit questions?
I'm not. I didn't. No. Damian and David Presley send me these questions. I just read them off of my phone.
So they just want to see your reaction when I say, I don't know.
There's another question that's not Detroit, but
no,
I mean.
Well, no. This is for Kevin.
Yeah.
It's for Kevin. It's for you. It's not for Daniel.
No.
It's for Kevin.
J-Mo. How do you feel about J-Mo?
Well, first of all, I mean, what's not to love? He's known for speed coming out of Alabama. Really like Jameson Williams. You know, hooray for Detroit that they got him. But I don't know that I love him this year. And the reason being the recency of his ACL injury. We were just talking about guys trying to come back. And in some cases, like Saquon, who got hurt early the year prior. J.K. Dobbins got hurt early last year.
Yep.
Jameson got hurt in 2022. You know, because it was a national title game for Alabama. So that's really not that much time. And while he's been doing amazing, I think the smart move is to allow him to continue that recovery and work his way into the NFL. So I don't actually see a lot of usage for him up front. And if he does work his way into the back half of the season, I don't think they're going to throw him out there to the wolves, especially when he hasn't had a chance to basically get his feet wet in the NFL yet.
Totally agree. And a 10-team league, especially Jameson Williams, I'm utilizing my IR spot on somebody that's not going to use it as a rookie for the entire season with the hopes that he maybe has an Amon Ross St. Brown type.
I would not be
year.
Stashing him in an IR spot
no,
either.
Just, yeah. It doesn't work out that way. Deeper leagues, dynasty leagues, different conversation, but redrafts, right. I think that's
dynasty.
Where
I'm 100% with Jameson.
Stefania, this has been a ton of fun. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, talking 49ers and Cardinals.
I love that we have the 49ers. The 49ers helmet migrated from the back.
It did. It
to
did.
The front.
It moved its way
which
up.
Which is where that is its proper place. I mean, let's be honest.
We
just kick
be,
that white helmet off the corner of the table.
You don't like it at all? What? Stefania, we're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to talk Rams and Seahawks. Stefania, will you be
more
here?
NFC West. Oh, yeah. I'm
You're
all about
be
it.
Here. More Double Trouble tomorrow. My name is Daniel. That's Stefania.
Yeah, it is.
At Stefania_ESPN, at Daniel Dopp. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
We did a show.
Man, you know how long it's been since I've seen you? Seriously, it's been like 2 weeks.
Am I tan?
You look way tan.
I know.
I am super white.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.